Empire.
Welcome to the latest edition of All Caps Post Game 2 against the Florida Panthers. A 5-1 loss by the Washington Capitals with former Capitals defenseman Carl Osner. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino. Carl, what went wrong?
Oh, man. You know what? It was an interesting one. I thought the, what was it, like 16, 17 minutes of the first period, it was a lot of the same. I thought the Caps looked good. I thought they kind of neutralized Florida's attack and suffocated them on the rush. And same thing. It was just, you know, one and done chances for the Panthers. And then all of a sudden it was a bit of that fluky goal that, just a miscue, a little miscue on the breakout, errant pass by Barkov that finds its way to Ekblad. And then, just like the most terrible bounce, like
Ferravari, right? Yeah.
Yeah. It never happens where it hits a guy like that. And then does like the old football bounce up and over the goalie. Like that's just so fluky for that to happen. And unfortunately it kind of woke up Florida's offense. And then you saw the individual effort that we've seen from the Panthers all season long.
Yeah, that Huberto move, Jesus.
Yeah, like he's been doing that all season. He's been able to, like, that's what I've been saying too. It's like, if for Florida to beat the Caps in the way that they're playing, they need to have some individual wins, some one-on-one wins. And that was one of them right there by Huberto to get the pass over to Barkov. And it's like we say, don't poke the bear. It's all of a sudden they kind of lit up and decided to start playing, and then you could see that the game just started to open up a little bit more. And they got way more chances. They didn't have any of those chances for most of last game and most of the first period. And then what was the shots? It was like the Caps were crushing them at the beginning, and then
11-6 in the first period for the Caps.
Yeah, and then it was like 27-10 after that, like, or something. It was
29-16 after that. It was 17-3 in the third period.
Yeah, it just completely flipped. And you know what would have been really nice is for the Caps to get one on that Marchment double minor.
Yep.
Oh, that would have been huge.
What a dumb penalty that was.
That was so dumb. That's like the absolute opposite what you want to do in the playoffs. And it would have just been great karma for the Caps to get one or even get two on something like that. But it's just those are the differences between experienced players and inexperienced players in the playoffs. You need to know when to say no, when to just stop and find another opportunity to do it. And he didn't do it, but unfortunately the Caps couldn't make him pay. So just it just all started from that one goal, the first goal of the Panthers. It was enough to give them the spark that they needed because they looked like they were sleeping again for the first more than three quarters of that period.
Yeah, like a greasy goal. Like, it felt like for that Florida offense that the Panthers needed something to just go in, a bounce like that. But I ask you, like, as a defenseman, like, when you have a fluky bounce like that go in, the puck goes in off you like that, or it happened in the Rangers-Penguins game, Panarin banks the shot off Mike Matheson and in, like, do you feel bad as a defenseman? Like, is there something at that point where, like, there's not really a whole lot you can do?
Yeah, there isn't really. You still feel bad. Anytime a puck goes off you and in the net, you feel bad, and it's like what you say in golf, it was never a bad putt. It was the grass was bad or something. There was a pebble on the green, it was never you. So you try and tell yourself that too. It's like, just bad luck. It never should have happened. It's just kind of whatever. And then whatever it takes to tell yourself to get over it, you do that and you try and get over it right away, but you still feel bad about it. You don't like when that happens, but unfortunately it happens quite a lot.
Yeah, to me, the turning point of the game was Nick scores the power play goal there, and then Marchment comes down and scores, I guess it was 26 seconds later. Like, the response there from 2-1 to 3-1, that's what a President's Trophy winning, cup-contending team does in that situation.
Yeah, that was a huge answer by them. It was a nice goal, sneaky little along the ice shot. It was a good play, but you're right. I mean, if they could have held on there without letting Florida come back and answer right away, then yeah, could be a different story, because it was that's the type of goal that you score on a team too, the backy one where you just sneak one in, and could potentially you'll leave a little bit of a little seed of doubt in the goalie that was scored on, but nope, didn't seem to happen. You saw the Vezina caliber Bobrovsky tonight,
except and for so, that nickel that goal that Backstrom scored. You can't, like, you're, as a goalie, you can't let the puck go between your pad and the post there.
You can't, but it's also a very hard shot to save.
Great shot by Nick.
Yeah, I was saying to my buddy, he texted me after that because I've scored one or two like that in men's league, and I told him it's the second best shot in hockey. Like, you always, if you have even a little bit of an opening, you always take that because it's so hard for a goalie to completely seal off that post. Like, it's just really, really hard. And so yeah, it was nice that he took that opportunity. Him and Kuzi are both so good at that, just finding little gaps in the post and the goalie. So yeah, it doesn't look good for the goalie at all, but it is a pretty hard save to make, but definitely not one that you want to give up. It can be a deflator for your team, but in Florida's case, it wasn't.
It wasn't. Out of the one goal by the Capitals tonight in a 5-1 loss to the Florida Panthers, Nick Backstrom on the power play. When we come back on All Caps, we're going to continue to dissect this game 2 loss, Tom Wilson's absence in this game and potentially in this series, and later we can argue about who should start game 3 for the Capitals. Welcome back to All's Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Alzner. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino as we continue to chat about the Capitals 5-1 Game 2 loss to the Florida Panthers. We were just talking about, I think the one goal, Carl, that I blame Vitek Vanecek for was that Marshman goal that was kind of the turning point goal. It doesn't have the stick in the five hole. The national broadcast, Darren Pang, who is my size and played goalie in the NHL, he even knew, like, you can't do that. Wasn't as bad as the Bobrovsky goal, but not what you really want out of your goaltender in that spot.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Obviously, stick position is so big, and it can save you so many times. Not just as a goalie, but as a defenseman or as a forward, having your stick in the right spot. But you know, it happens fast. You know, quick turnaround, slide it low. It's not. I don't think it's typically a player's first instinct to just kind of slide one along the ice there. But it was in this case, and the stick wasn't in the position to make the save. So it doesn't look very good, but I mean, it happened so fast and he was in tight too. So it's probably one that he would like to have back, and he probably could make that save look extremely routine if he
easy,
wanted
yes,
to.
Yeah.
But you know, it didn't happen, and it ends up being a timely goal for the Panthers and not good for the Caps.
Yeah. And when we talked 2 nights ago, it didn't look good about Tom Wilson playing in game 2. John Carlson was okay. TJ Oshie got banged up tonight. TVR took a shot and hobbled off and came back on. But how badly did the Capitals miss Tom Wilson in this game?
Yeah, big time. It looked like the Panthers were trying to take it to the Caps a little bit physically, you know, and that's not something that the Caps are ever used to having happen. They always they typically dictate that play. So I think it seemed like they were a little bit more freewheeling out there, and they were laying a couple big hits. There's that one sequence in the third where, you know, JoJo got hit, and it was just. Something that Tom would go out there and could completely change the momentum of that game with one hit.
And that was Gudas, right, on that one?
On JoJo?
Yeah.
That was Hornquist.
Oh, Hornquist, yeah. Hornquist on that one, yes.
Yeah, Hornquist is top two, top three in the league for most annoying players, in my opinion. He's really good at what he does. Oh, but man, I hate that guy. He would be one I'd take a suspension on. A playoff Hornquist is someone you're okay with taking a suspension on. But he, you know, he did a good job there. And yeah, so having Tom out there would be nice because it settles things down and keeps everybody in check, even though it is the playoffs and you're not really going out there to fight or anything like that. But it would be nice to have him out there just to, you know, it keeps the defenseman on Florida, not even just the defenseman, but any player on Florida, keeps them checking their shoulder whenever they're going to get a puck, knowing that he's flying around out there. So yeah, it's too bad because that's a player that you can't replace. Listening to the guys on the broadcast saying it too, it's like, who, I don't know if it was Talkett just saying like that's just a huge, huge miss, huge gaping hole for the Capitals that no team can replace a player like Tom. So it's unfortunate. Hopefully he can get back into the series soon because I want to see him. I want to see him run around out there a little bit. He made an instant impact in a minute and a half of ice in game one, so it'd be nice to see him back.
I want to get back to Tom in a second, but Hornquist, I remember Braden Holtby always was like, he was the guy who would crash the net in like a disrespectful way. Like, I guess there's not a whole lot of guys who like playing against Patrick Hornquist.
No, well, he's a loser on the ice. Like, he really is, and that's part of what makes him good, right? Like, he's one of the guys, like, you know, we always say that you hate playing against him, but you'd love to have him on your team. Yes. I'm not sure that he's even that guy for me. You know? I don't know him personally. I don't know many guys that have said anything about him. So he might just be the one that you just don't want to play against and don't want to have on your team at all. But he definitely can stir up the hornet's nest. And he knows the buttons to push and then just gets away from it with that shit-eating grin on his face. And then next thing you know, it's you're in the box because you've tried to slash him in the back of the leg. So it's, I don't know. It's frustrating. And I don't think it's always clean and fair play with the goalie, but it is. But speaking of that, did you see the Jeff Carter when he ran into Shesterkin tonight?
Yeah. Did you, that wasn't as bad to me as the Ronta thing with Boston last night.
No, definitely not. But I thought it was so funny. Like, we thought they were going to have to come out and stabilize Shesterkin's neck. Like, he looked like he was out cold on the ice and then just popped up and was good to go. I thought it was kind of funny. But
it was a little,
like,
soccer cell job, wasn't it?
Yeah, I think so. And it did look like he stuck out his foot a little bit to maybe try and trip Carter. And he ended up, I don't know, sold it or took more of the brunt of it. But yeah, it was kind of, I just thought it was funny. I was flipping back and forth and just so happened to see that. And it was, it's just, you know, the playoffs are weird like that. You're trying to get whatever edge possible. And sometimes it goes your way and sometimes it doesn't.
Yeah, it does seem like it's open season on goalies. Like, a few guys have gotten run. We all already seen the Penguins lose Casey DeSmith to an unrelated injury, but Ronta got run, Shesterkin got run over. It just feels like that's what's happening.
Yeah, which is weird. I mean, is that the cause from not having enough players out there that are, you know, going to fight and make you answer for things like that? I'm not 100% sure, because you'd think that wouldn't happen so often, but it is, and I don't know. Guys are going to have to protect their goalies somehow. And it's, you don't want to do like a, you do it to mine, we do it to yours, but it might end up turning into that for some guys.
Yeah. Well, but protection, that name is Tom Wilson. And I got a chance to see the replay early on the broadcast of him missing that check. And it looked like he pulled something. I don't know, hamstring, groin, something. But like, when you talk about lower body injury, and he clearly was trying to test it out game one during one of those TV timeouts, that's not what you want from a guy who derives so much power from how heavy his skating stride is.
It's interesting. I'd love to get, actually, if we could get Smitty's take on it. I'm curious what he would say, because it almost even looked like it could have possibly been like a hip pointer, like his the perfect level with the boards, and those are weird ones too, because sometimes they're playable and other times they're just awful pain. So it's all obviously speculation, and it's not something I would ever ask a player to divulge any information during the playoffs. So it's hopefully for him, it's not anything super serious, and it's just something that takes a little bit of time. But yeah, it was a pretty heavy collision with the boards there.
Yeah, and the Capitals need him. That's the whole point. When we come back on All's Caps, we'll talk about one of our favorite topics, unfortunately, is the goaltending situation and who should start Game 3 back at Capital One Arena on Saturday. Welcome back to All's Caps with former Capitals defenseman Carl Alzer. I'm AP hockey writer Steve Wino. Florida Panthers 5, Washington Capitals 1 in Game 2 of the first round series, which is now tied at 1. Vitek Vanacek, I think, allowed 5 goals on the first 16 shots he faced. With no pressure, Ilya Samsonov in the third period gave up no goals. I will ask you who you think should start Game 3 in goal for the Capitals and who you think will start Game 3 in goal for the Capitals.
I'm sticking with Vitek Vanacek as starting. I think he should. I'd like to just see them, you know, let him, you know, they started him in the series for a reason, and I think that they should give him that opportunity to, you know, to come back and play. And I don't think he has any sort of confidence issues after that. I mean, that it was, you know, there was a couple lucky goals and some ones that are pretty hard to stop, and just more action than maybe he was used to the game before. So I don't know. I would say go with him. Like I said, he's been my guy, so that'd be my choice. I'm assuming you're maybe going against me here.
What I'll say is I'm not blaming Vitek Vanacek for this loss. Full stop. This was not Vanacek's loss. After that fifth goal, he looked so devastated, and it's like get the vaudeville hook out for him and to take him off the stage. And I know Peter Laviolette likes to wait for the intermission, and he did. But to me, I almost wonder if they wasted good Sammy play in the third period of this game that they could have used in game three. I think you go to Samsonov, and I don't think it's a knock at Vanacek. I think this is a team that, as Laviolette has said, has relied on two goalies all year, and you kind of have to play the hot hand. And if you think Samsonov has a hotter hand to be able to steal games, steal whatever, a period for you, then you do it. I think that's the move. I don't know if Peter Laviolette is going to agree with me. I just think at this point, you go with someone who just stopped the last, whatever, 17 shots he faced in the third period.
Yeah, I guess if they feel like they need a goalie to go out there and try and steal a game, then yeah, I guess you would make that switch. I guess I would see it as you know, give Vitek the last 20 minutes off so that he just has more time to rest and be ready for the next game. That's the way that I would look at it.
That's also true. Like the Capitals probably were not going to win that game unless Bobrovsky forgot how to play goal.
Yeah. Yeah, that, I agree. I still think that they're going to go back to Vanacek, but like you said,
I don't think it's a bad, I'm not necessarily saying it would be a terrible choice. I just think in a 55-45 flip here, you go with Samsonov.
Yeah, I can see that. I've said that too, that I think that he definitely gives you that game stealing ability that I don't think Vitek has. Well, I shouldn't say that.
He was pretty good in game one. Yeah. He had to steal it, but he was pretty good.
Yeah, I take that back. I think he can steal a game, but I think that Samsonov has a little bit more, a little bit more flash to him that would be nice when he's on. He is great. He makes those saves that he probably shouldn't make sometimes. So that would be nice, but they're gonna look at the clips. They're gonna look at body language, all that stuff. A goalie coach is gonna talk to him, and they'll make a decision after all that stuff.
Yeah, my argument might be they almost need Samsonov to be that kind of flashy goaltender to maybe stop that goal that when you need a save that maybe a save that maybe an average goaltender doesn't stop, then he might make that. Now you still give up the risk of he might implode and give up a goal he shouldn't. But I think in a series like this, if the Panthers have kind of woken up a little bit, I think they just need that a little bit.
Oh yeah, well they're gonna put you in positions where they're going to have some backdoor tap-ins or some nice plays across the seam. And if your goalie can come out of nowhere and make that save, then that's huge. That's big momentum for you. And you like to see that. So if they're feeling that's what they're needing right now, you know, they're still in a really good spot. 1-1 going home. Like I think it's a better spot than a lot of people thought that they were going to be in. So that's already a bonus, but yeah, I guess we'll see what kind of decisions the coaches make there. I'm just happy that they were able to get a win, and I still see them really neutralizing Florida's attack when they want to. You saw though that Florida got a little bit of an edge there, and the Caps seemed to just lose a tiny bit of focus, and they got spread out. Next thing you know, Florida took advantage of it, which is what they do. So, I still think that they're looking pretty good.
Yeah, this is like the even keel express now. Like, we always talk about how you win the first game of a series, you think you're going to the Stanley Cup. You lose the first game, you think you're getting swept. Like, where we're at right now, the Capitals got their steal in Florida. Let's take it like if you flush both games and you said you fell asleep and you woke up at this point, you're like, they're 1-1 in the series, I don't tell you anything else, you'd be pretty happy, right?
Oh, big time. Listening to the radio and hearing the guys on pregame on TNT and all that stuff, and they're just like, you know, the biggest surprise so far of the playoffs is that the Panthers lost game one, you know. So it's like the Caps did something good. They weren't expected to even win a game in Florida, apparently, you know, one of the best road teams in the league. Wasn't really expected to win a game, and they did. So yeah, you woke up and you're 1-1 in the series. You're extremely happy right now. Like, I don't think, you know, even though you have confidence in your team, I don't think you were going into Florida thinking you were going to win both those games. You were hoping you would, but I don't think that was realistic. So I think they're in a great spot right now, and you go home to DC where the fans are going to be super fired up for this. It's going to be, they're going to be in a good spot.
One more thing. This has not been a good Capitals home team this year. Lost more games at home this regular season than they won. What do they need to do? What do you need to see? What do you need to see out of this team in game three and game four back home to kind of change that?
Well, I think they've already changed the game. I think they've already flipped the switch that you hate to wait to see if it's going to happen, but I think they've already done that and they've started to play more of a responsible game. Everyone's doing what they're supposed to do at the right time. So I think that they've done that. I would love to see them come out fast and be able to get on the board right away. I think that would be massive. It'd be great for the building, be great for their just overall confidence. So I think that would help a lot. You don't want Florida to feel the good times that they felt tonight. So that's going to be massive. I think you're going to see them come out hard, 2-1-2 forecheck right away and really put some pressure on and hope that they can get into the game right away. So I think that's really one of the only ways that you can get a jump on the Panthers right now. So that's my guess.
Yeah, I think even just starting fast without even scoring a goal, and to me, the biggest concern going forward is the injuries. And even if this is Tom Wilson out and a banged-up Oshie, a banged-up TVR, we don't know how close to 100% Alex Ovechkin is. That, to me, is my biggest question moving forward.
Yeah, well, there's for sure the injuries are there. The guys are going to be banged up. Like watching that TVR one, putting on his skate, and the tongue of his skate's going to be pressing up against that bruise. It's just a crappy feeling. But you know, that's what Tylenol's for. That's what adrenaline's for.
Just shoot it up and play.
Just get going. You do whatever it takes to get in the lineup and be there. And then yeah, it wears off after, and you feel it. But that's, you know, they know what to expect, and it's. It's just how severe the bumps are. Like if there's anything that's actually, you know, hindering them from playing the game, then that's, you know, that's the thing that's unfortunate. But just the standard bumps and stuff, every team's feeling it right now.
That's the way it is. Another All Caps After Dark out of the way. We'll talk. Thanks all y'all for listening, and we'll talk to you after Game 3 on Saturday afternoon.